What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, what is TWS podcast? This is another episode. We had what?
Definitely. The 34?
34.
It's the Black of Soul, people.
The Black of Soul. I don't know if they're ready.
They're not ready. Mm. You better get there.
I don't know if they're ready. What I'm sipping this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, this is peppermint tea. It's oh so refreshing.
Peppermint tea actually is pretty refreshing, though.
Yeah.
I usually make peppermint, throw it on ice.
Yeah, the box smell just slammed like a candy cane. Mm-hmm. Just like straight up peppermint.
Oh, yeah.
Peppermint, no chaser.
No, they had to bring you in. I'm sipping nothing. Not even going to lie because we're on video. Don't got nothing.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be hopefully the first episode that we post both audio and video for.
Yeah, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, so we're gonna christen this YouTube channel. We're gonna hit y'all all over the place. Pause. But
apologies. If I would have known, I would have worn a nicer shirt. But...
hey, I'm rocking my normal Sunday attire. Off season, on season, playoffs, no playoffs. Hail to the Redskins.
Hail to the Chiefs.
Pay Kirk Cousins, though, for real. All right, so we're going to get into this one rather quickly. I got to get used to this boom.
Yeah, these new booms are there. They're pretty dope, though.
It's pretty dope. Pretty dope. But, and I want to start out with my usual rant because I do have something to rant about today. When Rich pulled up, my daughter and I were outside. I decided I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to do some daddy time. I'm going to take her outside, get her some fresh air. You know, we could chill, you know, play around or whatever. This is the most disgusting creature I've ever met in my life, Rich. Man. So first I'm out there and I ordered the booms on Prime Now. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Amazon. So I'm out there. And while I'm out there with her, the Amazon lady pulls up. So the Amazon lady pulls up, you know, I help her get the stuff out the car. I got my head on the swivel, you know, I'm making sure, you know, my daughter isn't getting, you know, too far away from me out in the street or anything like that. But, you know, I'm still grabbing packages and getting them in the garage. And so I'm walking back on one of the trips to get something from the car. And the lady looks at my daughter and she's like, oh, you eating leaves? And it didn't register when she said it. Like, I was just like, I'm focused on getting this out of the car.
So the lady notices her eating leaves.
The lady notices her eating leaves.
So was she being condescending? She's like, oh, you being leaves. You're such
I think that's how it, like, got past me. Because she said it, like, in a, oh, that's so cute way.
Instead of saying, hey, your kid is eating leaves.
Instead of, your kid's eating leaves. You might want to do something about that. So
White lady?
Yeah. Or something. I can't tell no more. In Austin, white and Hispanic, they could be the same thing. You don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
So anyway, I get to the car, get back, drop the last stuff in the garage, and the lady's pulling off. And I walk up to Elise, and I can see her now with the leaves. I'm like, are you eating leaves? And she's like, yeah, she sure is. Like, almost like I told you 5 minutes ago she was eating leaves. You ain't do nothing. Yeah, motherfucker, she is eating leaves. So I get there. You know, I got to do the parent thing where you got to dig in there and get whatever. So it's not the leaves that she's eating. She's picking up the leaves. And I don't know if you ever seen this on those little leaves, but it'd be like, they look like little balls or whatever.
Yeah, those little on the back of eggs or something like that.
They're eggs of some sort. I looked like real close at them for a change this time. And you could see like a little hole in it where something had escaped or whatever. My daughter is pulling these off the back of the leaf, and that is what she is attempting to eat. When I dug in, when I had to put the little hook in there, it's just these little fucking balls, you know, popping out, paws. But, yeah, and in my mind, like, I know this is some sort of insect egg, and the only insect I can think of is roach. So I'm like, my daughter out here eating roach eggs, she gonna have a growth or something. It'll be fucking roaches pop out. My daughter's disgusting. And now I'm like, I'm scared. Like, I'm really expecting in a couple of days for some shit to develop. She gonna grow some antenna or something. Or
stomach acid is gonna kill all of it, or she's gonna poop it out. Either way,
we'll pray about it. But yeah, that's my Why couldn't she just eat the leaf? Like the leaf. I could have rationalized that. Like spinach is a leaf. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have come to terms with that. But she's out there eating roach eggs, and now I'm fucked up mentally. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I myself don't actually have a real rant. I do have a semi rant, semi observation.
All right.
So lately, like whenever I have some downtime, I'll pull like a random movie or something off of Kodi and or Netflix or Hulu or wherever I'm at, and just like watch a few movies, the movies that Renee doesn't necessarily want to see, or something that may seem like it might be interesting, or frankly just something to put on as white noise in the background while I'm doing something else. I watched a few movies lately, and I'm kind of shocked. I'm not shocked, but I'm just like, what the fuck? At the shit that's going on in these movies. And the level of expectation, unfair expectation, that I feel like Hollywood is placing on fathers these days.
Okay, all right, yeah, so I'm interested. You got my interest.
Yeah, so case in point, here's the movies. The whole Taken franchise.
Okay.
Whole Taken franchise.
Yeah.
Another movie with a newer movie just came out last year with Mel Gibson, real chiseled, grizzled, older guy. It's called Birth Father. And then I watched Collateral Beauty.
Okay. So I've only seen one of those. And I haven't seen all the Takens, but mm-hmm. I've seen enough Takens to know that I don't have that. Yeah. I don't have that special set of skills.
So, Birth Father, along the lines of the same thing. Mel Gibson plays a chiseled, grizzled old. Think Logan from Wolverine, from X-Men, with Mel Gibson's face.
All right.
Big ass beard, ex-biker, was in a gang, did his time. Older dude, still jacked and ripped and stuff. Daughter gets into some trouble with the mafia and the everyone else. Like, God knows how many people are after Mexican mafia, Chilean mafia. Everybody's after them, and he's been missing his daughter for like years. He had wanted posters. She calls him in the middle of the day. She's in trouble. She accidentally hurt somebody. Well, I don't want to tell the whole movie, but long story short, he comes to bat for her, and he's like just dropping people like left and right. I mean, granted, you're gonna do what you gotta do for your daughter,
right?
But now, what does this say about like Hollywood? Has this unfair expectation that they're setting for fatherhood these days. You know, it's like, oh, get in trouble, it's okay. Your dad is going to jump over three cars, get shot 15 times, and take down half the mafia.
You're going to fly to a foreign country. And
he will find you.
And infiltrate the sex trade industry.
If you breathe into the air in any known location, he will know that was your breath of air,
if you can describe the room as they're dragging you out of it.
Like, what the... And these movies are entertaining, but people have got to realize this is not the world we live in. And I don't want to discount the love of a father for a daughter in any way.
I'm about to.
Anyway.
I'm going to let you say what you got to say.
But what the fuck? I can't do that shit.
Exactly.
I don't know nobody who can do that.
And I live in the real world. I'm a realist. Rich, I'm a real, and I like to be upfront with people. I like to set the expectations early so that you don't get disappointed when shit don't happen later on. So Elise needs to know right now, there's certain trouble you get into, and I'm gonna be like, hey, I feel for you, homie. Like, you know, I don't know what to tell you, you know?
That shit was crazy. You
know, man. And then, like, Logan is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
It's him, like,
going to bat. Especially with this new one with, what is it, X-23? Like, forget about
it. She just happens to be able to hold her own a little bit herself. But, you know, he's still getting there taking bullets.
It's unfair. And then I say that, and I brung up Collateral Damage. Because it wasn't necessarily Will Smith jumping out the window to protect his daughter.
Yeah.
Two of the sub characters in the movie had kids, and the level of emotional distress like they were going to for their kid, and then the level of emotional turmoil that Will Smith was going through after his daughter's death was heart-wrenching. And it's like, I don't even think, like, I'm not going to discount the love of a father for a child, but what he was portraying, and, you know, the image that he portrayed and the compromises that he would try to make in the movie, I don't necessarily know that that's reality.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to see that movie to see, like, how far it went. Because trust me, like, right now, the thought of my daughter dying is going through my mind. I don't know what fucking kind of eggs these were, Rich.
Yeah.
I don't know what she has just ingested. And I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of days. So, yes, the scenario has played through where, like, something hatches in her stomach and pops out, like, alien or something, and then I lose my daughter, and
what
I gotta fight the shit
that's
in the house.
Alien situation? What if it's a Spider-Man situation?
And she turns into some sort of, like, only in the comic books do you only get the positive side effects of being like bitten by some radioactive. In the real world, you would turn into like a half human. We saw the fly.
Oh, like the fly, yeah.
Yeah. That's what would happen to you in the real world. Not that you would just get cool and now you're strong and can climb up walls and got senses mm-hmm. and stuff. Nah, you'd have eight eyes and multiple limbs and fur places you in. You know what I'm saying? Like
glasses would be pretty expensive.
It'd be gross. It'd be fucking gross. And that's what
it's people living out there with full-blown, all full-body hair. I mean...
And it's gross. I mean, I know this, but they know it's gross.
You guys got good medical plans.
They know it's gross. Right. I don't know if our medical plan... I don't know. I don't even know if I want to go to that that doctor's visit. But
So that was my rant. Right. Just the unfair, I guess, stereotype that's out there now.
It's just
from Hollywood on husbands, fathers,
on men in general.
Yeah, really. Like he saved his wife. His ex-wife. Power to you. How did you find her? And then. The way he talked his daughter into finding like the ley lines or whatever it is, and make an echo right here, and then draw a circle on a map, and then widen the circle, and I'm gonna make another noise, and when you hit a reverberation, you're gonna be able to find me. No. What the fuck?
I try to talk my wife through set to hooking up a printer.
Exactly. You know how hard that
you know
is.
How hard that was. Man, let me try to get her on some triangulation and see how well that works out.
I'd be at work like Renee, just right click. How do you right click? Tap it with two fingers. Tap with two fingers, you scroll to the left, you enable it. Like you just,
I'll do it when I get home.
Apple is life.
Two fingers. That was wrong. I apologize.
But so that was my rant.
All right. And I apologize to I'm not used to the camera being here, and I'm on my laptop a lot today because we've lost a couple episodes recently, and so I'm like real extra paranoid about the recording stopping. So. I'm not paying attention to Rich. Mm-hmm. I'm just really fucking scared.
I'm taking no offense to it.
We're going to lose the episode. But, fuck it. So
without further ado.
Let's get into the Blackisode.
All right, so this is the Blackisode. And what we're going to focus on today is it's a conversation Jared and I have had a few times, back and forth online, in person. So it was a list going around with that they say is, what is Black privilege? What is Black privilege? Is the name of this list. And on this list, they have quite a few things that they claim are issues of Black privilege. And I quite frankly found the list to be asinine. Laugh every time I read it. But, it's like, you know what? We want to see what the public thinks. So we're going to go ahead and read this list out to you, give you some of our thoughts, and I guess we'll see what some of your thoughts are. So without further ado, here's the Black privilege list. All right.
Yeah, I'll let you run this.
Number one, Black privilege is being able to take pride in your race without fear of persecution.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that one.
Definite bullshit.
Right off the bat. I have to lighten myself up everywhere I go. Yeah. I can't go nowhere and be 100% my culture.
Not at all.
I can't rep 100%. I can't even really... I can't discuss the music I like in certain situations. I can't go to work.
What's rap and hip-hop? Oh, my God.
Right. I can't go to work. And I sit at work all day and listen to people play house music and rave music. And I guess because it doesn't have lyrics, it's cool. You know, if I was to put my music on, it'd definitely be a problem.
Exactly.
If I'm walking the street in the middle of the night and I see a woman, I won't even put a race on her, just a woman on the same side of the street as me, I'll cross the street. To prevent her from feeling uncomfortable.
Exactly. And it's a shame that we have to go through all of that bullshit.
I have to be super aware of my race all the time and try to make you feel better about it. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't get to take pride in who I am. I have to try to hide it or dumb it down or
and
something
as a,
all
and
the
as
time.
As a subcategory of that, when it comes to our perceived music and what we like as a Black race, our perceived style of dress, what we like to wear, our mannerisms, all of that stuff has been culturally appropriated.
Yeah.
It's not Black anymore.
We're going to get to that.
It's not Black anymore. So the subset of this is that not only can I not be okay with the fact that, I like to listen to Royce the 5'9" and I have to hide that, but the white guy in the cubicle next to me gets to love Royce the 5'9" and blast it.
And that's him being open-minded and and accepting, you know.
Same goddamn track.
Same track. And that's him being, you know, accepting of other cultures.
So how is that exactly a privilege?
I don't get that one. And don't get me wrong, Rich. Some of these I'm going to go with. But we haven't hit one yet.
All right. Black privilege is when people assume you are poor because of racism, not because you're lazy.
I see. And that's just racist. Like, I mean, like, it's like you use the word racism in a statement that is purely racist.
Exactly.
Like, I don't, first of all.
Neither one is good, to be perfectly honest. I don't want you to assume either one. I want you to assume that, don't assume shit actually about me.
Yeah.
Just don't assume.
And there are just as many, you know, poor whites. It's a socioeconomic thing. Yeah. It's not, poor is not a racial thing. And to put and attach it to this list of black privilege is just as racist as you can possibly get.
Exactly. And we are not the creators of poor.
Of poverty.
It's not something that actually anyone aspires to have or aspires to achieve. Oh my God, I'm broke. I made it. No, you fucking didn't. You know, no one aspires to poverty. And I don't understand how that's even a privilege, to your point. It's a socioeconomic issue. You know, poverty happens across all levels of the spectrum. It's not dependent upon blacks. It can happen to anyone. And it does happen to a lot of whites as well. So I'm not discounting what, you know, any race or culture may go through.
We just saw the power of poor white people.
Yeah, clearly.
Because Donald Trump spoke directly to them. He told them, you know what, these blacks and these gays and these women and these Latinos and Muslims have been cutting in line and taking your spot in the American dream, and I'm going to change that.
Yeah, and that goes along with another one that's going to be down the list, so we're going to come back to that. But yeah, this one, bullshit. Black privilege is being wealthy without people assuming your wealth is handed to you or that you exploited others.
How about you not assume my wealth comes from something negative?
Exactly.
How about you not assume, now, you know, if I drive a nice car, you don't assume that I'm a drug dealer.
If you're a wealthy black person, your money came from one of three places. You're an entertainer.
You're a
sports figure or athlete, which is a subset of entertainment. Or you're a drug dealer. Either way, you didn't earn that money in their eyes. You know, that money is not yours. They feel like they gave it to you. They put you in your position.
Right. They feel like you shouldn't, like, entertainers and athletes shouldn't be paid that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And not only should you not be paid that much, you don't deserve a voice.
Yeah. And even though, in order for athletes and entertainers to be paid that much, that means there has to be someone making substantially more to pay them that amount.
Exactly.
If you're looking at a basketball team full of millionaires, who pays a bunch of millionaires?
Exactly. And we're not the ones signing that check. So therefore, once again, we're still the subordinate. So what are we taking away from anyone else?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Another bullshit. We got three bullshits.
Black privilege is being able to commit violent crimes against another race without people assuming you are racist. Man. See, here's the thing.
All right.
When black people commit crimes, 9.999 times out of 10, it's not a hate crime. Either they're crimes of happenstance or just because, you know, crimes of privilege, crime because they're literally hungry and trying to eat.
Right.
Or I'm not making excuses for it. I can't excuse crime. Crime is crime, but it's never a hate crime. A white person will shoot a black person and say, die, nigger.
Yeah.
A black person will shoot a white person and say, die. That's the difference.
I believe there's some black people that shoot white folks and say, die, cracker. My issue with this
and then being a black, why would that even be a privilege?
My issue with this being black privilege is that, first of all, how is it a privilege to be able to commit a violent crime and be looked at in any way?
Like, you should be looked at as a criminal, period.
Yeah, again, at the end of the day, you're a criminal. What I'll say against this is that black people that commit violent crimes, they may not be looked at as racist, but they're going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
They
may not even make it to that situation. They may not even make it to court. You know, white folks may get may get called a racist every time they shoot somebody of another color.
But they go but home.
They, yeah, they probably get a vest and a security export, a security escort to court. They get their day in court, and they don't typically get the same penalties that mm-hmm. we get. So I don't see how this is a privilege at all. That's enough. We on four bullshits.
Bullshit.
Looking for some truth.
Black privilege is being given affirmative action, which advances you in jobs and colleges based on your skin tone.
Right, here we go. Now see, this the actual phrase, like the way they wrote it, proves the point. A black person didn't get an advantage over you because they were black. The black person got an advantage over you because you can't write a sentence correctly.
Exactly.
And you had plenty of time
to proofread this
shit before you put it out there. Before you try to call us on black privilege, mm-hmm. you might want to make sure your grammar's correct.
Exactly.
You might just, or that you know how to use the plural of a word properly. So that's strike number one.
And see, this can go both ways, but the reason why... And this is a tough one, because on one hand, I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, we do receive affirmative action, and affirmative action does give us an advantage to a certain extent. However, that perceived advantage does not come at the cost of taking away from another person.
Right. And I saw a graphic the other day, and it was like, it had like people behind a fence trying to see something on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like... what is it? Like equality. So basically it was like if all these people were shorter than the fence. Like if you put, you know what?
I think I know where you're going with. So equality is basically everybody being able to see over the fence.
Everybody being able to see over the fence.
So the average white person, let's say the fence is 6 feet, you know, yeah. the average white person is gonna be 6 feet.
Right.
So they on 5'11" and they can tippy toe and they can see over the fence.
Right.
However, the average black person in this analogy would be 5'10". So they can't see over the fence.
They need a larger
So therefore, the advantage, the perceived advantage would be us being able to step up onto the stool.
Right.
Stepping up onto the stool gives us what? Nothing but the same but the vision that you have.
Right. And that's
you know what I'm saying?
But I think, you know, now looking at the analogy, I think what some white people, or at least the white person that wrote this list, see is that the fact that, you know, we start out shorter is our fault. Right. Is that we're not equal to you to begin with. So if we're given the same amount of stuff, you know, they're always going to reach higher than we are because they don't see us as equals to begin mm-hmm. with. And that's the problem. The problem is that like they assume if we're poor, it's because we're lazy, not because we're in the same socioeconomic bracket as some other poor white people where mm-hmm. opportunities aren't there, where resources aren't there, where the education, you know, isn't there. No, it's that we're lazy. And that's why we don't achieve. But if you look at what black people have done in this country, every time you've given us anything, even if it's way less than what you have, we take it and run with it and make it much more than you ever thought it could have been.
And that's what they're scared of. And it goes back, it was a quote, I can't remember exactly what the quote is, but the bottom line is, if you're not going to do anything to help me, don't do anything to hurt me.
Yeah.
Period. So... You don't want to help me. You don't want to pick me up to see over the fence. That's fine, but get the fuck out the way and let me figure it out for myself.
Right. And then the other thing is that I think people were so used to spots being held for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know these amount of positions are reserved for you. That if you take away those reservations and say these positions are no longer reserved for you, they're open for everybody. And now other people start getting those spots that were traditionally.
They
reserved
feel like
for
something
you,
is being
it feels
taken
like something
away
was
from
taken me. Away from you and given to somebody else
mm-hmm.
when you shouldn't have had it to begin with.
Exactly. And see, the flip side of that, not necessarily the flip side, but to go along with it, affirmative action in schools and in the job field, in the job market, in the real world. Affirmative action will say, these are not exact figures, but affirmative action will say a certain amount of these positions or a proportion of these positions have to go to minorities or women or foreigners or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You got 100 jobs, 100 seats at a college, 100 tickets. Automatically, 80 are still reserved in going to who? The white man or that part of society.
Right.
Because it's always been reserved for them.
Right. It doesn't say it's got to be half and half.
Yeah. So you're still getting 80 jobs, 80 tickets, 80 college admission letters. With that remaining 20, has to be divvied up, not for blacks, but for blacks and Asians and Hispanics and foreigners and everyone. We have to now vie and fight for that remaining 20 seats. But now here's the thing. They're not looking at it as, you know, we have 80. They're looking at it as, how come we don't have that 20?
Right. I mean, that, and the 80-20 rule applies all over. Yeah. You know, I still, I mean, those to me, those original 80 are still supposed to be up for grabs for everybody.
And that's how it should be.
They're supposed to be up for grabs for everybody. Now, we know in the real world, it don't always work like that. But let's say that they're up for grabs for everybody. You know, those last 20 have to be reserved because we've lived in a country where historically, and this is, and I talked about this on several episodes of the podcast, we need the country to admit this. We need the country to stop for a second and admit that historically institutions have been put in place to keep people of color, minorities, down.
Exactly.
And that they were done on purpose. And that these, and so now that these things that are being done to give us some assistance are just to rectify the fact that historically you tried to you tried not to let us have it. You tried to keep it away from us. And that's the problem. Until we can admit that wrong has been done and wrong is continuing to be done, then people will always see any advantage that we're given as some sort of unfair advantage because they don't see the disadvantage that we've been
given. And see, that's what's crazy. In 2017, they're still gaslighting us. You know, they want us to believe
that we're crazy.
That we're crazy. Yeah, like, this has, it never happened.
Right. It's, you're not poor because
hundreds of
no
years
jobs.
Of disenfranchisement, and it just never happened.
Well, you're not poor because we put you in a social experiment. We stacked as many people in a small area as possible and then sucked all the resources out of it and saw what happened to those folks. They started turning on each other. That's not why you're poor. You're poor because you're lazy.
Shit is crazy. Yeah. So, this one, once again, I call bullshit.
I call bullshit. I go with that.
Let's see. Where are we? All right. Black privilege is having the media cover up your race in the event of a black flash mob or a gruesome murder. In case you didn't get this one, I'm going to repeat it. Because what the fuck? Black privilege is having the media cover up your race in the event of a black flash mob or gruesome murder.
I need evidence. I need some. Show me the time
when,
that it happened. That they
when
up.
Has the media ever covered up anything? If anything, before the media even knows who the killer is, they're saying black. Black man, black, black, nigger, black, black. Before it even happens.
Yeah, I get the feeling. Normally for me, I get the feeling if the media is slow to identify the race.
Oh, we know. We evidently, that wasn't a black
person.
That
wasn't a black person.
So and every time, and it's crazy, every time you watch the news, oh my God, you know, there's been a shooting at a school or there's been a shooting at a church. Police are working to identify the culprit. Oh, wasn't a black man. That's my first thought. Wasn't one of us. Wasn't one of us. Can't pin it on us. You know why? So we don't do that crazy shit. We do a lot of dumb shit as a whole. When has a black man walked into a school and did all of this?
And shot up some kids for no reason. I just need historical context. If whoever wrote this can give me the historical context, can show me
dates and
where
figures
where the media has covered up.
We
the
need
race
dates and figures an on this black privilege list, and we're not talking about alternate facts. We need to be on the same motherfucking page.
So, yeah. I'm not even gonna call it bullshit. I'm gonna say I don't have enough information to judge it, but it sounds like bullshit. It sounds a lot like bullshit.
Looking like bullshit too. Black privilege is being able to make insensitive comments about other races and not being called out on it.
And you know what? Hey, I'm gonna take that one. If it's one on the list, we need one. Y'all got a million. Give us a privilege. I'll take that one. Yes.
So
I can say crack it 100 times
a
day.
I'll take it too. The only according to this list, the only real advantage to being black is to be able to poke fun and be able to walk away from it. That's the only real purpose. That's what we got.
And be able to walk away from it. In a sense, like, cause nobody can, you know what I'm saying? Like if a homeless person said you was stupid, you'd be like, okay, fuck it. Like, why am I gonna get mad at you
exactly.
for calling me stupid when you ain't got no place to live and I'm going home right now? I think that's the way it's looked at. Like, we can say whatever we want to them.
Because they don't put any stock into us.
They don't, why should I care? I used to say this, you know what, I'm gonna say it. Cause this is my podcast and I can say what the fuck I wanna say. I used to say this about, like, because you know how if you're in a relationship with a girl, right, and shit goes south, you know, she might try to throw some shit on your name. Mm-hmm. I used to, you know, when it would happen to me, I'd be like, Kate, nobody who sucked my balls can say anything bad about me. I'm not going to ever feel a certain kind of way after things I done got away, things I done. You can say whatever you mm-hmm. want. You can't take it back.
Fact remains.
And that's how I feel like they look at us. Like, what? Oh, we evil and all that stuff. Yeah, okay, yeah, but we still.
Yeah, it's like, you talk all the shit you want. You still disfranchised.
Yeah. I still bench over, so, you know. Yeah, say what you want.
We might have to keep that one. That one has a similar to truth. We're going to keep
it. I'll take that one all day.
Black privilege is when people assume that the police pulled you over because of racism and not because you were speeding.
How is
that a privilege? The
police pulling you over.
It never.
Privilege.
Because, first of all, when we get pulled over, as the media has shown, more often than not in the public eye, it's a life or death situation. Life or
death situation. I was just talking to, because I hung out with our good friend Jernigan last night. First time I had seen him in a long time. And I was talking to him about my DWI situation. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to him, like, and I got arrested for, I mean, I was 100% in the wrong. The best thing that could have happened to me that night was that I got arrested. Like, anything mm-hmm. else that would have happened would have, you know, would have been catastrophic. So that was the best outcome I could have possibly mm-hmm. had. But I was saying, you know, after the arrest and I got out, my mom was calling me and I was so embarrassed I wasn't picking up the phone. And it didn't dawn on me until like a week later that she wasn't calling to give me shit for, you know, driving drunk.
You made it.
She was calling to make sure I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I mean, that's how it is for us right now. Whether exactly. you get pulled over legitimately or illegitimately, you it could be the last the thing that ever happened to you. And my mother was scared for my life. She wasn't worried mm-hmm. that I had been drunk driving. She wanted to know that
if you made it home, if you were okay, if you weren't.
Yeah.
And see, and people don't realize that that's
the reality,
our reality
that we live in.
You know, I watch over my shoulder constantly. I take my fiance to work, drop off Renee. Soon as I'm back on the road by myself, when I tell you no bullshit, I am praying that I make it to my job, that I'm able to get to work. And then when I get to work, I'm like, babe, I made it, because I don't want that kiss before we left and I dropped off to be the last one.
Right.
But that's not their, reality.
Right. And that's what, you know, when I talked about that with the I Am Not Your Negro movie,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the things he was saying. That's one of the side effects of segregation, that even though it's over and it's been over for a while, we still don't really know or have any visibility on mm-hmm. How the other side of the fence lives. They don't know our reality, and
quite frankly, we don't necessarily know
theirs.
Don't
know this, you know?
But we know certain things, and this is not their reality.
Right, we know that they don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, but their emotional shit, financial shit. Of course, everybody goes through that, but they can walk out their door, go to work, and come home. Now,
they can get a bunch of their friends, get guns, take over a government building, and still come home alive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to Walmart and buy an air rifle without being afraid that I might not make it out the store.
Shit, you might not be able to get away with walking on the block with a candy bar in your pocket, especially if you got a hoodie on.
Some Skittles.
Shit.
It's bullshit. We had another bullshit. Yep. We had like, what, 5-1 right now?
Yeah,
5-1 bullshit.
They ain't looking too good.
They ain't looking good.
Black privilege is being able to preserve and promote your culture and having your culture protected from criticism. Is it considered preserving our culture
in.
If it's been appropriated?
Exactly. I'm going in, and I'm going to go. All right. Well, that's what I was saying earlier when you were mentioning, like, no, we're not allowed to preserve our culture. Anything that we create, that we popularize, that we make something big, any contribution we make to American culture just gets taken. It gets taken. It gets so mixed in that at the end of the day, nobody wants to say it was ours to begin with.
And see, I think that's the issue. That's exactly what I was about to say. Cultural diffusion is alive and well. It's always going to be something.
Yeah.
You know, you're always going to have a mix of cultures. Somebody's always going to blend things, mix things, make them better, appropriate them, send them down the line, whatever you're going to have. But you give that person credit.
Yeah.
You don't have black people out here putting chili and cheese on top of French fries and saying, we invented the French fry. No, they're still French fries. They're not African fries. They're French fries. You know, and we're not trying to take credit for anything. We'll make some crepes, we'll make some waffles, whatever it is, but we're not trying to appropriate and make it as if we invented this thing because we haven't.
And so many of the things that we've invented came because you gave us the scraps, you gave
and
us
we had to,
the nothing.
And we had to make some, we had to run with it.
We had to get creative, we had to make it something, we had to make something out of nothing. And then when we did, I was like, oh, that's dope, thank you, you know, I take that. But it's like that Paul Mooney, I remember Paul Mooney saying it, he's like, anything, you know, you start liking somebody too much, they're going to take him. He's like, don't like me too much because they'll take me. And that's, you know, you can't tell we get to preserve our culture. It just gets stolen from. That's why we keep coming out with new stuff, because every time we do something, it gets snatched.
Like, we really wanted to sit up here making cow tongue and tripe and chitlins and shit.
Chicken
that
feet.
That wasn't a first choice. That was a life or death situation, people.
Yeah, I got to eat. I'm hungry.
Shit.
And I got to make this taste good some kind of way.
You notice you can't eat chitlins without hot sauce. Why? Because you can't choke that shit down.
Yeah, I don't. I ain't never ate a chitlin. I never will.
I plan on not eating it either. Yeah. So you know what we're going to call this? Bullshit.
Straight from the poop shoot.
Shit. All right, what we got? Black privilege is being able to blame your shortcomings on racism.
Hold on. I ain't make it too cloudy here, did I?
No.
All right, fuck it. My shortcomings on racism. No, I mean, I'm sure there's some people who do. We've all grown up around a person where it's always the man got you down, the man is doing this to you, the man won't let you have, the man. I'm sure there's some folks that do hold on to that and take that as a way to not have to do. It's something that we fought earlier this year with the election thing, you know, and talking to some of these young people and the whole idea that the system is rigged against you, and that's enough reason to just sit out. And for some of them, it's not I'm gonna abstain from voting. Is that's my excuse to do nothing. Like, I can just sit back.
Exactly.
Like, why participate? Because you know it's all rigged against me. So I'm just gonna do absolutely nothing.
And you know what? And like we said earlier, that was mostly millennials because they haven't had to fight. You know, so speaking from personal experience, I've never had this privilege of blaming a shortcoming on racism. Why? Because I've never been able to rest on my laurels. I've never been able to be okay with the shortcoming. If I don't know it, guess what? I now have to learn it in order to push myself forward. Hey. We can't stop. They're okay with the door being shut in their faces. Not how we were raised.
I mean, just the way, like you said, that's not how I was raised. You know, I was raised, my father wasn't in the household. And there would be certain times where, you know, my sister or myself would say something like, you know, we would blame something on that. Like, well, how am I supposed to know any better? You know, dad's not around. And my mom would say, that's only an excuse for so long. Like, you're only going to be able to use that for so long. You can't be 20, 25, 30 years old, still
talking
blaming
about my dad.
Talking about your daddy
issues. Don't work.
Like, if the racism is real, my father's situation was real.
Okay, now what?
Now what? You still gotta get out of here and eat.
Still gotta live.
And provide, you know, and live. You know, what you can keep, you can have all excuses in the world, but they don't stop you from starving. You know what I'm saying? If you hungry and you like, I don't have no food because the white man won't give me no food. That's not going to put no food in front
exactly.
of you, you know. So everybody I know that has anything, whether or not they view racism as a deterrent or an obstacle they have to overcome, they fucking overcame it and they
exactly.
moving on. You know?
You find a way. And see, that's one of the things that I hate about millennials. They're so used to things being freely given or freely handed to them. This current generation is they're just so protected, and for the life of me, it kills me. Like, we had to face real shit, and protecting this generation from the realities of the world and over coddling them is not preparing them for reality, and it is not preparing them for the workplace and what they actually have to face in the real world, as shown by this past election. They clearly were not ready to be told no.
But see, and this is where you and I mean, and I won't say we disagree, but I view it differently. Like, I don't like blaming the millennials for anything, really, even for themselves at this point. You know, like, if we're the generation that was before them, or, you know, or their parents, maybe the generation before us,
it's not their fault. That's what I'm saying. This is not their fault.
We got to get on our job.
This is what the millennials are doing, and this is what they're being shown. But who is showing it to them? That's what I'm saying. It's not fair that this is what we're showing them because we're not preparing them properly.
So this is my whole idea behind the Be the Light is that, you know, we know what's wrong. So the only, you know, instead of, you know, continually talking about what's wrong, let's show them something better. And that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying to build our own, have something, participate, be involved in what's going on, and show people, you know, that that's a way to make change, that sitting out is not going to work.
All right, so here's one. This was, we read this one the other day, and I thought it was funny, because we might have to own this one. Black privilege is when people consider you to be superior at sports or better in bed without it being considered racist.
All right, man. So if I listen to this literally, no, it is racist. It is racist. There's nothing. If somebody does consider you better at sports, I've had
black or you play basketball.
Yeah, I've had some friends like, yo, let's go play ball and assume that I'm good. And I'm like, I'm gonna go out there with you because I enjoy playing basketball.
Jared's on my team,
but I fucking suck, though. Like, hey, don't ask me to dribble or none of that. Like, I'm a spot up shooter. I'm Steve Kerr all night. Hit me in the corner. I might get you a couple of threes, but if you ask me to bring the ball up the floor, you got disappointment coming.
Yeah, I'm a outside man all day.
So yeah, you know, if people assume that, that's absolutely racist. That's definitely racist. And the good and bad thing, like anything you want to be good at,
it takes work.
You have to study.
I'm a man who loves to work hard.
Hey, I'm a nerd. I read books. I study.
But
I put the time in. That's all I'm saying. Put the time in. Be the light.
All right. Black privilege is not having to be fearful of offending minorities.
Bullshit. You know how many... I learned this early in life, like, you know, growing up around your friends and you use the word nigga, you use the word dog, you know, that's my dog, it's my man's, whatever. And I remember being someplace, you know, maybe being like 16, 17 years old and being around an older black man and not that much older, like maybe in his early 20s or something. And just, you know, and feeling familiar with him. So just walking up and be like, what's up, dog? And I ain't never had somebody flip on me so hard in my life. This dude was like, I'm not your motherfucking dog. Don't you ever call me a dog, blah. Nah, we don't get a pass on that. Like, that's, it's a subjective thing.
It's a subjective thing.
People are going to be offended by what they're offended by. All right. I'm pretty sure this podcast offends a lot of minorities.
Yeah.
You know, intentionally or unintentionally. I don't know. I don't know why I say things I say. But I'm pretty sure it offends a lot of people.
Everyone is going to take offense to something at some point.
I don't get
the point is we don't intentionally set out to do so. And even if we did set out intentionally to do so, the frame of reference or the frame of mind is not that, oh, I can do this, but it's okay because this is my privilege. It's not.
And I think that's, again, another one of the big problems is that a lot of the things that white people do that are racist, they don't believe are racist. Like, they don't seem to understand what racism is. I would rather deal with somebody who is outwardly racist and admits it.
Because then you know at least how to handle it and what you're dealing
with. And I know that they know right from wrong and they choose to do wrong. And at least in that context, we have a similar frame of reference.
Yeah,
we both know what racism is.
Exactly.
And maybe I can talk to you. I have a starting point for the conversation. If I'm dealing with someone who's racist and believes that they're the nicest, most accepting person in the world and doesn't understand how the stuff that they're saying, like this list, is racist, then we don't even have a starting point, you know. Because
a lot of people don't think this
is okay, then how do I convince you that it's not? We don't agree on anything. Say this stuff and think it's cool.
I'm gonna give everyone right now one surefire way to tell you're racist is if you ever start a sentence and say, "But my black friends." You're racist.
Or but my white friends. Like,
you're exactly.
Or my Latino friends.
You are racist, my friend. Yeah. That was racist.
And that just made me want to go to midnight right now, or moonlight right now.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, my friend.
That dude is cool though. That dude is cool.
He probably would run with it.
Yeah, he cool.
Would know. He would know it doesn't come from a place.
A place of hate and malice. Exactly. All right, where are we at now?
I think we're here. Black privilege is having the establishment lie to cover up problems in your community or protect you from criticism.
What has ever been covered up in my motherfucking community?
I need the historical
somebody, please, you know, get some documentation, send it in. I would love to read it because I definitely call bullshit on this one.
Again, like I say,
cover up what?
This is known. This is scientific fact. If you put a large group of people, anything, you put a large group of anything,
doesn't matter who,
in a small area, and then you start pulling out the resources, those people are going to turn on each other. If they have nothing else, you know, to get something from, they're going to start profiting or eating off of each other. It don't matter what it is, what the organism is you put in that situation, that's what's going to happen. That's known. And so these places were created. So when you put people in these places that were created, and then you see crime rates go up, when you see drug use go up, when you see these things happening, you can't sit there and say those people are bad because they fell victim to the situation we put them in. Like
these slums, these hoods, these ghettos, they were not created by us, but for us.
Start admitting the wrongdoing. Even if that wasn't your purpose when you created them. I believe it was. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that they weren't created for that reason. Once we realized that that's what it caused, we didn't fix it. We didn't change it. We didn't do nothing. You just let the people die in those situations. Exactly. And the ones that get out, get out. And you don't seem to care about the rest.
So, that's the thing. We're spending all these fucking billions of dollars on a wall. Just a little bit. It's a little bit of resources in all these towns. These places like Chicago, where these kids have no alternative, they have nowhere to turn. Open up a fucking YMCA, build an extra basketball court, after school program. You got to give these kids something else to do with their time, or else they're turned into the streets.
Let's not even make it a black issue, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I purposely did not mention race.
Right.
Because there's not only white kids out here, I mean black kids out here that's dying. It's people of all races. And it's people of all walks of life who are dealing with these same issues. The grass isn't always greener. Shit, the grass is dirty doodle brown on the other side of some of these motherfucking blocks.
I mean, if we look at these communities that went out and voted for this dude, a lot of them are underserved. And they could use a piece of that $15 billion that's going to be put toward a wall to come in and bring opportunities there. Let's help out all of these communities.
All of these inner city neighborhoods, like, they need resources. We do not need a wall to keep the Mexicans out. We need businesses and resources inside to keep us alive.
Exactly.
That's what we need, but that's not what they're focusing on, though.
That's not how you get votes.
And this is a tangent. And I'm tired of everybody motherfucking saying, because I saw it in the movie earlier. You know, they tired of these Mexicans coming over here and taking our jobs. I have never seen one motherfucking white person in America out here talking about, I'm trying to pick some oranges. I'm trying to climb the side of a building so I can weld a fence.
That's racist.
That's not racist. I don't see no. I'm not trying to do it.
But you trying to say that's what Mexicans come over here to do?
Those are the jobs that they take and they accept. That's not what they come over here to do, but they take and accept and excel at all of these jobs that we do not want to do. Why? Because we deem ourselves better as a whole than to be able to do those jobs. Yes, this man is handing oranges, picking on oranges. So what? At the end of the day, he made a dollar, he took that dollar home, and he fed his family. It's not my place to look down on somebody for what they're doing for work, but the excuse for kicking people out can't be because we're afraid they're stealing our jobs when they're not doing anything that you're trying to volunteer to do.
I still disagree with you on that one, but the bigger threat is how many jobs we're sending. Like, it's not people coming over here stealing our jobs that's really, to me, getting us. As a person in the IT community,
I was about to say, I work in IT. I know where the jobs going.
I look at all the jobs that are leaving, that are going. You call customer service anywhere right now.
It's in India.
And see if you get in America.
They're all in India.
Usa.
But yeah, bullshit.
More bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, and more bullshit. Where we at?
Black privilege is when you can be overrepresented in a certain field without people trying to amend it. Number one.
The NFL?
I was about to say, number one.
The All-Star Game.
And what field are blacks overrepresented in but sports?
I'll wait.
Exactly. That's number one. Number two, we do have quite a bit of African Americans in the NFL and NBA and in the sports leagues, but we are overwhelmingly not the executives, and we're not the bosses. So we're still answering to someone.
Yeah.
So we're still underrepresented. So therefore, bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, we're excelling at the only thing that we're given to be able to excel at.
Yeah. To the person who made this list, I just want to say, for a lot of these, if you actually deem them to be true, some examples would be great. Because a lot of these I can't say anything about, because I have no idea where you're pulling this from. That's like you telling me the sky is green and asking me to come up with an argument for it. Like, you can't see that it's not green? Okay, I don't know what else to tell you.
So this next one is absolute bullshit, and it's also absolute truth, but it's not a privilege.
All right.
Black privilege is having the government pander to your interests in order to get the black vote. How is you lying to me to get me to vote for you a privilege when you're not doing jack shit you said you was going to do?
And then we just learned that it's not necessary. We had a man look at the numbers and decide, I don't need the black vote. I don't need it, not at all. I won't pander to it because I don't need it.
So how is it a privilege?
How is it a privilege?
See what I'm saying? These motherfuckers.
I mean, yeah, we still in the same situation. If we still talking about civil rights, if James Baldwin is still relevant, if all of this stuff is still relevant, then all of whoever's pandered to whatever to get our vote, it ain't helped us nay another bit. So I can't see that as a privilege.
All right, they saved the best for last. All right. This is the last one before we go and try to close this up.
Hit me with your best shot.
Black privilege is having Hollywood always present your race in a positive light. Say this again. Black privilege is having Hollywood always present your race in a positive light. What motherfucking world?
Exactly. I don't know. Did anybody see, what was that, Angry Bosses with Motherfucker Jones? Was he like the only black person in the movie?
Only
and
motherfucker.
That's the role he got, Motherfucker Jones? What's the other one with the white babysitter? I'm just going off comedies. Whenever y'all want to have some fun with something, whenever y'all want to laugh at some shit, y'all laugh at black people being stereotypically black. Y'all laugh at us being gangsters or hood or whatever. What was the movie? It was Jonah Hill. He was babysitting some kids or whatever. And I think Method Man was in it. All the black people in there, they hung out at this hood bar. They was all gangsters, and they came and saved his life at the end. Like, if you think that that's representing us in a positive light, that's our role all the time.
Apparently, that's the best we got.
Yeah, because when you put us in a, because when they put us in a positive light, then people start saying it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. You know, Cosby Show wasn't real.
That was a fiction.
That was fiction. You know what I mean? You know, when they put us in a positive light, people almost can't handle it. You know, it's like being woke out the matrix. Like, this is real. No, put me back in. We're all black people. Sell drugs. I prefer that.
The shit is unrealistic. The shit, this fucking entire list is unrealistic.
But the sad fact,
Somebody believes it. I can't believe it.
I'm sure wherever this was posted, it got thousands of likes.
I should search it, do a Google reverse picture lookup, and I'm sure there's some comments floating around there somewhere.
That's the sad, you know, the sad thing about the stuff that Trump says is not that Trump says this stuff, is that Trump thousands upon thousands people of people
believe it, with him.
Believe it, like it, support it, want to see it happen, agree. Like, you know, that's the situation that's most worrisome to me. You know, we're having a daughter and no one, you know, what she's going to have to face. And the fact that now it's okay to outwardly feel that way. Like, at least it used to be, you kind of had a feeling people felt that way, but they kept it to themselves. They didn't feel comfortable saying it.
I don't know, shit. You can say whatever you like now.
Say whatever you want now. You can do whatever you want. I mean, we getting kicked out of stores. We getting thrown out of stuff.
I saw a video the other day. It was a white guy like beating down this Muslim girl, ripped her hijab off her head.
Because she was wearing the hijab.
Everything. Yeah. What the fuck?
Because now it's okay. It's so cool.
And see, I don't get it. Like, I've never been one of those people to like idly stand aside. Like, I can understand wanting to mind your business, but then I can also understand I can't understand rather sitting there and recording
and taping
grave injustice. Not only was he attacking her because of her race, her religion, but it was a man beating a woman. Yeah. How was that okay? Yeah. It wasn't okay.
And she was trying to get away. Like, she was actually going away. Running. It wasn't like she was engaging
her down and grabbing her.
She wasn't engaging him in the fight. She was trying to get away. Like, sometimes I see these fights between men and women, and sometimes the woman may have initiated the fight, or he might be trying to get away.
She's trying to square off or something like that, but
this woman was trying to run, and this dude was chasing her down. He was on some Jason type shit. Like, he was slow walking her down the hallway until he could punch her again.
And everybody just thought
it was... And they videotaped it.
For the life of me, I can't understand like that. So, per example, it was a situation in New York before we left. Renee was on a train, and this guy was harassing Renee. He said it was a white guy, said some expletives, started cursing her out. He tried to get aggressive with her. He tried to push her and hit her and move her out of a seat because she was sitting there, and he wanted to sit there or something like that. Group of men, grown ass men, and it wasn't even like it was all black men. It was black guy, Hispanic guy, white guy. All of them came to her aid. Not because she was a black woman,
because she was a woman
with this big-ass guy, male, who's aggressive towards her, like he's trying to square up with her. That's not what we need in a society. So just like people have come to her aid, and I've always been grateful for that since that day, you know, that's something that I've always tried to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're put here for a reason, you know. We have our strengths. We have our wits about us. You know, we're here to protect others. Just like in turn, those who are bigger than us are able to protect us. And for people to just continuously idly stand aside and watch things like that happen, it's like, where is your humanity?
But that's and that was my favorite line from the "I'm Not Your Negro" film. Was James Baldwin said, "I'm terrified of the moral apathy, the death of the heart." In my country. And that's what it is. Like,
that's where we are.
When you have to convince someone that providing clean water to an entire community of people should be a priority. When that requires a conversation, when you just can't say these people have not had clean water for more than 3 years and the entire country rally around trying to get them clean water. Like, the fact that has to, you have to convince people to join that cause is that's the scary part.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know. So with that, you know, this has been a heavy episode. I hope we're able to bring some levity to it. But, trying to lift my spirits. But, you know, speaking of Flint, Michigan, ttcharities.org. Please, you know, hit up the website. See what you can do to help. You can donate time, money, clothes, toys, books, whatever it is they need at the moment. You know, I know Tavares is always trying to do some good in the community. We've been discussing this We've been discussing this Flint, Michigan situation. Mm-hmm. We're over 1,000 days. I think last time I looked, it was like 1,025.
Ridiculous.
You know, so we're talking about 3+ years of people without clean water in what's supposed to be the greatest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
Greatest country in the world, and we have our local citizens living like they're third world.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So please, you know, let's take care of each other. Let's you know, donate if you can. If nothing, spread the message. Maybe you can get this message to someone who can help, and we can do some good with it. But yeah, ttcharities.org. I try to big up them every chance I get because they're doing good work out there.
Shout out to TWS Multimedia, doing big things. We're grateful for you guys giving us this chance.
And a lot of big things coming from us. This video will be the first of many. Hopefully I won't look as fat in the next ones. I'm trying to slim down. I should have ran today, but I didn't. I know Tom sent out the message about running, and
I don't know if I could have done 8 miles.
What to do? I couldn't have done 8 miles.
But I couldn't have done it, and I was dropping off Renee about that time anyway.
Yeah.
But we definitely need to get something together. Just not 8 miles.
But appreciate y'all listening again. More content coming. Every Monday and Thursday, we dropping at least the audio episodes. We're going to figure out what the release schedule is going to be for these videos. But let us know what you like. Let us know what you didn't like. Ask me for a shirt. If you ask me for one, you might just get one. You should buy one. But I've been trying to give away a shirt for a minute and not really getting any takers. So
we got the new hats up, too.
We got hats up. Check out the website. Check out the store. We everywhere you want to be. Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. Everywhere. What is TWS?
White Pants Society. TWS. Everywhere you want to be.
Everywhere you want to be. So, yeah. Once again, thank you for listening. This was episode 34.
The Blackest Soul.
The Blackest Soul of What Is TWS Podcast. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Peace.